I'm Jim McKeown. Welcome to Likely Stories, a weekly review of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, and biographies. Back in my middle school days, I loved reading about archaeology and anthropology. My favorite book then was Gods, Graves, and Scholars, an interesting look at some notable archaeological digs, including the tomb of Tutankhamun and ancient Troy. When I was in college, I took an anthropology course as an elective and devoured numerous monographs on disparate cultures around the globe. Recently, a friend recommended Euphoria by Lily King, which is a fictionalized account of Margaret Mead's adventures in New Guinea. Ah, the embers of my old passion flamed anew. King has written three novels before Euphoria, and she has won several awards, including being named as an alternate for the Penn Hemingway Award. She has also gathered several awards from her home state of Maine, where she currently lives. Euphoria is the story of three anthropologists studying tribes in New Guinea. Fenn is the husband of Nell, and Andrew Bankson is a young anthropologist trying to discover a previously unknown tribe to make his name. King plays with some of the facts of the lives of these characters in order to spin a love story of an unusual nature. Nell plays the role of Margaret. Fenn stands in for Rio, Margaret's second husband, and Andrew Bankson fills the role of Bateson, Margaret's third husband. I found the early chapters a bit confusing until I worked out who was whom and the exact relationships among the three characters. King really did an exceptional job of capturing the thoughts of Nell as she explores the peoples of the New Guinea jungles. In this passage, King writes an entry in the diary of Nell. I found a language teacher, Karu. He knows some pidgin from a childhood spent near the patrol station in Ambunti. Thanks to him, my lexicon has over 1,000 words in it now, and I quiz myself morning and night, though part of me wishes I could have more time without the language. There is such a careful mutual observing that goes on without it. My new friend Malin took me today to a woman's house where they were weaving and repairing fish nets, and we sat with her pregnant daughter Sally and Sally's paternal aunt and the aunt's four grown daughters. I am learning the chopped rhythm of their talk, the sound of their laughter, the cant of their heads. I can feel the relationships, the likes and dislikes, in a room the way I never could if I could speak. You don't realize how language actually interferes with communication until you don't have it, how it gets in the way like an overdominant sense. You have to pay much more attention to everything else when you can't understand the words. Once comprehension comes, so much else falls away. You then rely on their words, and words aren't always the most reliable thing. The one thing which disturbed me about the book, especially in light of the current plunder of precious artifacts in the Middle East, was the way some of these people manipulated and even stole artifacts from the tribes to sell to museums. For example, Fenn covets a sacred flute and enlists the help of a local man, Chambun, to steal it. In the process, the natives discover the loss and attack the two men. Chambun is killed. I am glad I ignored the rule of 50 in this novel. 5 stars. Likely Stories is a production of KWBU. I'm Jim McKeown. You can read my book blog at rabbitreader.blogspot.com. Join me again next time for Likely Stories, and happy reading.